Welcome back, everybody. My name's Evan, and I'm so glad that you've joined us back on the BCC Recap. This is where we take what's happening in our church and what we're learning together and bring it into unscripted conversations that dive a little bit deeper. Whether you're tuning in on your drive, at the gym, or just relaxing at home, we're so glad that you're here. This week, we have a special episode of the BCC Recap because of the Phoenix Fest takeover this past weekend, of which I personally am still recovering from, and guest speaker Ray Liu. We're going to do another Meet the Team episode. So today, this time around, we have returning guest Suzanne Hilsden.
Good morning.
And former two-time welcoming summer intern and current communication summer intern, Amy McMillan.
Hello.
Thanks for being here.
That's a long title, Amy.
Yeah.
As I was writing it, I was like, this sounds like a UFC fight intro.
Yeah, literally.
And in this corner, two-time welcoming. Last time we did a disruption episode, we talked with Andrew and how he came to be involved in ministry in some of his early ministry days. And this weekend, we wanted to do the same because of the disruption. So we're going to talk to you both about kind of your life in ministry and what that's looked like, but more specifically through the lens of one of you being more of a seasoned vet and one of you being fairly kind of new.
I was
new
just
and
thinking
fresh.
I've been in ministry as long as Amy's been alive.
Yeah, that's really sad.
Actually, a little bit longer.
That's crazy.
I forget how old you are, but yeah.
Sometimes when I see you two working together, it looks like a young Suzanne. Yeah.
Well, people have thought before that I was your daughter. Someone asked you that once.
They could have at least said sister. Oh yeah. My gosh.
Work daughter. Yeah. Sister. So as we jump in, why don't we lay a little bit of groundwork? So why don't you both introduce yourselves and maybe tell us a bit about how you came to Bethany or how you kind of got into ministry. They're both looking at each other right now, trying to get the other one to go first.
Go ahead,
Suzanne,
Amy.
Why
I'm
don't
your
you
boss.
Start?
You gotta go first.
I told you to go first.
I did tell you to go first.
Oh, you did? Okay. Yeah.
You gotta lead by example, Suzanne.
Okay.
Just gotta lead the next gen.
All right. I'm Suzanne. I've been in ministry here at Bethany 22 years. What drew me to ministry? Nothing drew me. I honestly kind of fell into ministry, to be honest. And I think it's slowly been drawing me since then.
Yeah.
But never was my life plan to be in ministry.
What
got
did you
a bunch
before?
Of schooling, and I went to Brock for kinesiology degree, and then went off to college after that. I worked at a hospital for a little while in occupational physiotherapy. Oh. And when I moved back to St. Catharines, I was sort of newly married, and my husband Tyler, who many of you know, he was looking for an engineering job because he had just graduated. And the idea was that we would be moving to a large city somewhere where there would be an engineering job because there was not a lot around this area. And so this job came up at the church, and I was like, I'll just take it for a few months, a year, until we can figure out where we're going to be moving, where we'll get settled. And I remember doing, my interview at the time lived in Thunder Bay, so did it over the phone, got the job, had grown up here at Bethany, and I guess they must have trusted me enough. And started here. And I have to say, I loved the job. I loved the work. I loved the people I was working with. So I was hooked pretty quick on just, the passion and everything here. And then 22 years later, I'm still here. Tyler
still
ended up getting a job in the area. And so never left. And did you ask a second question? Motivation.
No, that's
change.
Pretty much it.
Yeah, that
and
was
how
it.
How you came
okay.
to Bethany and how you got into ministry.
Yeah, and then I've been at Bethany since I was born. So, so part of just seeing the church change over the years and, being able to be a youth here, a young adult, and then now seeing my kids, sort of following some of those things, going to camp, doing all the things, coming to Phoenix Fest is very, very cool. Because I know the impact it had on me getting to see that in them as well.
Yeah, Amy, why don't you tell us a bit about how you kind of came to Bethany and got into ministry work?
Yeah, so it's also kind of an unglamorous story, but it has a happy ending. I was finishing my second year of university 2 years ago and needed a job for the summer, and I saw Bethany was hiring, and I also have attended here my whole life. You know, since Suzanne started working here.
With her mother, Suzanne.
I got enough kids.
But yeah, so I saw Bethany was hiring, and I saw one of the jobs was communications assistant. So I applied for that because I was a marketing major. And then Laura called me and was like, hey, we don't think that role is being funded. Do you want to apply for welcoming instead? And I was like, sure, you know, I wanted to work here. Why not? And then was not sure what to expect for that, because if you'd asked me before where I wanted to volunteer, welcoming probably wouldn't have been my first choice.
Right.
So I was like, what have I gotten myself into? But then I started and I absolutely loved it, and it was amazing. And I just, yeah, it was great. And so I applied the next year for welcoming. That didn't get funding. So then I did worship arts. That was also great. And then finally here we are, the communications assistant role.
Oh, third so time's a charm.
You did welcoming and then worship, and then, man, yeah. You hopped around. Mm-hmm. I thought you were twice welcoming. So you didn't get funded last year either? Oh, well. No. Suzanne, when you came on staff, what did you come on staff as? Like, what was your role?
I worked in the office right away. I'm trying to remember. I think I answered phones. I kind of started, if I remember correctly, doing comm stuff fairly quickly after, because I noticed that sort of our team in the office, that I just kind of loved that, yeah, design and wording, whatever,
yeah,
promo, that kind of stuff.
I'm just trying to think about the fact that potentially with the work you were doing, you could have written the baby announcement for Amy.
That's
way
true.
Back when
I definitely probably did. Maybe, yeah. Could have been.
Crazy.
Amazing. Yeah.
We want to invite you to something really special. Our support and recovery ministry is hosting a worship night, and whether you're in a season of healing, hope, or just needing space to breathe, this night is for you. It's happening on Thursday, May 29th at 7 p.m., and it's open to everyone. You don't have to be a part of a group or a program. You can just come as you are. We'll gather to sing, reflect, and make room for God to meet us right where we are. No pressure, just honest worship and sacred space. So mark your calendar, bring a friend, and we'll see you there. For more details, you can head to bethanycc.ca/upcoming or click the link in the description. Now let's dive back in. So we have some questions for you guys today. This is the last time we do an episode like this. Yeah. both of you kind of talked about kind of falling into ministry a little bit and kind of... not having, like, it was necessarily not expected for either of you to get into ministry. But what made you say yes, and what has continually kept you saying yes to the work that you're doing?
I think, I said yes originally because I thought it'd be fun. And I think that definitely is part of it that's kept, like, even with all the different roles and things, like, I think it's just a lot of fun, and the Bethany staff just have a great vibe. So that's just, it's just been a lot of fun working here. That's been great. And then I think also just that the work feels very meaningful. I think one thing that I was like working on a lot throughout university was trying to figure out how to like use my skills in a way that like honors God, especially because like business can be used pretty terribly.
Yeah.
So just trying to like find good ways for things. So I think that's been nice. And just even like the tasks, like obviously last year doing worship art stuff, like if I'm helping plan a service, that's very meaningful. But even the small things, like even just in welcoming, like we were kind of joking that one of my first things was like finding new juice crystals.
Right.
But like juice crystals are important. Like it helps, like people enjoy
makes
it.
A
makes
kid's
you
day,
have,
right?
Yeah. Like when I think back to when I was a kid here, like when we would have juice, like that'd be great. Like that was devastating when it was discontinued. And so I think just it all feels very meaningful. Like whether it be a big scale thing or even just a small thing that like still has an impact in some way.
Yeah. That's super cool. What about you, Suzanne?
What keeps me here? That's the question, right? What keeps me saying yes? Definitely the staff is a huge part of what I love. Just serving as a team. I love working together on projects. yeah, and just, you know, with the mission that we have and Andrew at the helm, like, you know, I think he keeps pushing us, you know, forward, keep, I don't know, just learning who we are too in Christ. And yeah, he's very encouraging in that. And I would just say also, like, my volunteers, like, I'm human, I have a bad day, but I'll come to church on a Sunday, and it honestly, it'll be one of my volunteers who encourages me, you know, to keep going. They won't even necessarily know maybe what I'm going through, but it's like, oh man, like, they're the one, they, like, they, I don't know, they, yeah, they speak to me, and the way they do, yeah, it just, it does, it keeps me going. And also stories, like, to hear, you know, ultimately why we're here, right, is for life change. Not only within the people who come and the new people, but within us, within our volunteers. But it's like little stories that, you know, all of a sudden will pop up. You're having a discouraging day, and then you hear about a newcomer who's come and is just, you know, so excited to be part of this community. You know, maybe they're a new believer because they've been welcomed here. And it's stories like that, that, you know, you hear a lot, and those are just, you know, reassuring. Okay, you know, I'm in the right place. I'm doing, you know, in the right position. And it is easy to forget that. So I think it's all those little things kind of coming together. And then, of course, wonderful Amy. When Amy comes back on, like, I have to say, it's almost like a breath of fresh air for me. You know, thank you to know that she's helping us.
Bethany and Amy walks in.
Thank you.
She just, you know, it takes some of the load off. And it's definitely huge. Well, thanks, Amy.
So I think it'd probably be fair to say that, like, there's a lot about ministry that ends up being different than we think it is, right? And, like, things, absolutely, expectations, a bit of a running joke, right? That, like, don't get jaded, or, like, don't have your, like, things are gonna, your expectations are gonna be shattered, right? But I think it is true that there's, like, a pretty big, there's a lot of reality shifting that I think takes place in, like, the early days of ministry and working in and figuring things out. What do you both think is kind of one of the biggest things for you that you realized was, like, very different kind of coming into ministry than what you thought it would be like?
I've got a few things, actually, that, like, kind of, I, you know, in a little bit of time that I've been here is just, so I think overseeing volunteers has changed something in the last few years. So being, you know, overseeing welcoming, is that I think we often assume that people, you know, when we ask them to serve, they're like, we're kind of forcing them to serve. And we kind of make assumptions about people. But to be honest, I've actually learned in this role that people are excited to serve, and they want to serve, and they want to use their gifts. And that's something that I, you know, I sometimes feel bad, like, would it be okay to, you know, whatever. I feel a little hesitant, but people are excited to be here. When they know what the mission is and they want to be part of it, I feel like there generally is, they want to serve. And so we don't want to take that from them. They also want more responsibility than I think we sometimes are willing to give them. And so, you know, finding the right people for that, and sort of releasing, you know, that responsibility to different people. Another thing would be, you know, it's funny. I mean, this has been a long time now, but when I first started, I remember someone told my husband, oh, working at the church just must be so angelic. It was something like that, some kind of term like that. And then I remember, I've never forgotten that. And I'm like, angelic. You know, people, yeah. And, people are unaware.
Encapsulated for you, Amy? Is that what you felt when you walked 100%. In? Angelic?
Just that everything is perfect, you know, and that if we love people in the right way, if our heart is in the right place, it's all going to be perfect. We're all going to hold hands and get along. But obviously, like, ministry is messy. Mm-hmm. Like, working with people is messy. And so, like, yeah, being in ministry, you definitely need a lot of resilience. And as we're learning in our current series and loving that series, resilience. And just, I think you just need to be faithful. And that's a huge thing. That's a word that I've kind of taken with me, you know, all my life, but especially in ministry, is like, you know, keep being faithful. And if it's from the movie Frozen, is doing the next right thing. And I've kind of, something that stuck with me is that. And lastly, I think when I started, I thought, it's a job. It's just a job. Like, working at the church is just a job. But over time, I've learned that ministry is actually a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that my entire family has had to adapt to. So it's not just me. It's my kids. It's my husband. They're sometimes voluntold. I've got, you know, my oldest and my husband will be here fixing things, putting things together for me. And it's just part of their, luckily they're wonderful and they're happy to do it. But they all really have to adapt and be for that lifestyle of ministry or else it just wouldn't work. Yeah. And so, yeah, those are kind of some things that I've come to realize.
I think one thing for me is just noticing how much overlap there is between the different ministries and stuff. Like, not like I assumed you didn't talk to each other, but I think especially from having like the three different roles, kind of noticing like where the overlap is. And, you know, even when I haven't, like this year and last year when I wasn't in like the welcoming role, but still how welcoming affects those things and those things affect welcoming. Absolutely. So I think that's been interesting. And then also just seeing how much goes into any one ministry, like looking at specifically the little tasks. Cause obviously a lot of the time, like, you know, if we're just attending the church, we just see like Sunday morning. And we don't necessarily see the whole picture, and we don't see how many things went into that, and we don't see how many volunteers needed to be switched at the last minute type thing. Yeah. Like, I think just, it's been, it's like not like, obviously I knew everyone was working hard, but just like seeing how many little tasks there are and seeing kind of, just what all goes into
making things great. Right?
It's so cool, because you think about how many, even just like, like a Sunday morning, how many hands are at work to put that together, starting from months before to that day it happens, right? And like it is very cool to see, some of the behind the scenes stuff there. And do you guys have any moments or stories when you felt like you were just like completely in over your head, or when things just went very wrong for something you were working on?
Gonna say like nearly every day I feel a little bit over my head if we're gonna be honest.
My answer is Tuesday.
I don't know. I think sometimes when you step back to think what the responsibility that you've been given in leading, that's when you're like, boy, that's a big responsibility, right? And so I'd say like every day. But also like I guess just if you're looking for specific times in ministry, probably I do remember Christmas 2019. We did like a really big Christmas, if you remember. Was it home? We had this idea of like, let's make the entire foyer look like living rooms. We had thousands of people come through that Christmas, and it was an amazing Christmas. Like looking back, I got really sick after that Christmas, but wow, it was really neat, but very overwhelming. And I remember thinking like, how are we going to make living rooms with no, you know, a small budget? Sure enough, you know, the right volunteers, they had a whole truck full of furniture for free to let us borrow. Amazing. Right. And all the snacks that we provided and all the things, right? So that was definitely, you know, you feel overwhelmed, but it was wonderful at the same time and amazing to be a part of. And then I would say just taking over welcoming would be another moment in ministry another thing where I fell into.
Entirely
and
new ministry for you to lead.
And it was like, here you go. It was just an open slate, you know, with not really anything to, where do we begin? And
it's so crazy to see how far your ministry has come since that point too, in such a short amount of time.
And again, you know, step by step, being faithful and, you know, asking God, you know, what's the right next step. And definitely felt a little over my head and a little, out of my like normal realm of what I did around here, because it was comms and more admin work. So,
it also helps that you're amazing at it.
True.
Aw, thanks, guys.
What about you, Amy?
I don't know that I have like a specific story where I felt overwhelmed in like a crazy, like bad way, but I think that the story that comes to mind,
because Amy's always in control. Always. She's that good.
I don't know about that. No, but just the story that comes to mind for like, I think one of the busiest times from when I was working here is last year when there was the sermon about the parable of the yeast. And I was helping coordinate, like, the video of, like, Becky making bread and, like, the people baking the sourdough for communion.
Yeah.
And I had to, like, buy all that flour for Andrew to...
And were we all on vacation?
Yeah, and people were on vacation, so I was like, one of the other ones here, so I was like helping lead welcoming that week.
And lugging like kilogram bags of flour.
Yeah. Well, I remember like being there for like welcoming and then watching the screen to see, because I had to go help him like move the table with all the props so worship could happen. So it was like kind of chaotic, but I think that, I mean, it wasn't bad because in a way, like, I mean, I enjoyed working on all of that, and I think it just kind of reinforced like that I enjoy working in ministry. I like that I was busy because it kind of felt like meaningful. Like I felt like I was being very helpful, and I think that kind of, yeah, like going back to what I was saying with the work feeling meaningful, like it kind of really felt like I was making an impact in like the bigger picture of things, even if it was all just these random little behind the scenes things. And so it was just really enjoyable.
That's super cool.
That's awesome.
It's yeah, it's so funny some of the things that they throw at weekends to do.
Yeah.
Like that. It's like some weekends we just sing a couple songs and listen. Other weekends we plant seed paper into big potted plants. Yeah, do you see they're growing now too?
They are. Yeah. Like
really well.
Like actually growing.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, go
for
it.
I was going to say, I will also say we were joking earlier about the first Sunday when I started working here. And it was Phoenix Fest 2 years ago. And it was when... like they didn't all leave for the day. So everyone was here. And we were also like outdoor cafe started and we were giving out freezies. And that's when there was the rocks and the pencils for the sermon illustration.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And we were trying to manage all of this. And this was my first Sunday working there. And I mean, that maybe was the most overwhelming. I remember I was outside cutting freezies, but also it was just like, it was kind of chaotic, but also it was a good dive into things because that's
so funny.
That's ministry. You'll just throw it right in.
Yeah, it showed really what everything. And then I think the Sunday after that was the comedy night when we worked like 12 hours that day. Oh, like it was.
Yep.
But it was good a good times. Start to things it was to like, really show like
this we're is a lot ministry.
Hats. Yeah.
Yeah. There have been like so many times I feel like that for you specifically where it's like you just get thrown in. Or like last week when I'm like, you're starting work. We got a big conference this weekend, so it's going to be a little nuts. Like. When you think back to the early days, is there a piece of advice or kind of wisdom that somebody gave to you that really stuck with you?
I mean, I don't know that I have a specific... I was trying to think of something, and I'm sure later I'll think of great advice that I'm just currently not remembering. But I think it wasn't really advice, but when I first started doing the Brock Campus Ministry internship, and so that was a year before I started working here... right at the beginning, the chaplain in charge of that had us all do like a spiritual gifts test.
Mm.
And I think that was good to like start off by acknowledging what it is that we're good at type thing, because there's things that just kind of reinforced, like I knew that my number one was going to be administration before I did that. Like that was pretty obvious to me, but then learning like other things that it was kind of recognizing where when I read the description I was like, oh yeah, I guess that does actually kind of sound like me. So I think just I think it's important to just recognize things like that.
Yeah That's super cool. We do and I think we're doing more of this on Thursday, but we have been using Working Genius. Did you do a Working Genius here too?
Jamie had us do it 2 years ago, like the all of us that worked here then.
We should talk about it sometime, because I just did mine recently. And yeah, those things can be so helpful, right? Even it's been helpful for us as a staff, like with spiritual gifts, with Enneagram, with Working Genius, how like not only does it give you more information about yourself, but you're able to relate to others better, right? And like it gives you a good window into like, oh, how does Suzanne think about things differently than I do? Yeah. And how does that work with us?
And even like, and I was telling you guys about this before, like it's interesting as a benchmark, because one of mine was like the exhortation. Mm. And I was like, at the time I was like, I don't really think I'm that great at like encouraging people, like I'm more of an introvert type thing.
Yeah.
And kind of seeing how I've grown in that, partly from being in welcoming. I think welcoming has made me a less awkward person. But
like, what a slogan. Volunteer for welcoming, become awkward. a less awkward person.
I think it's interesting also then, as a benchmark to see how you've grown and how God has like worked in you to grow different skills, working in ministry and doing other things.
Yeah, that's super cool. What about you, Suzanne?
Well, this is something totally different, but It's just something that initially came to mind when you asked that was way back in the day, Jane Coleman, I give a shout out to her. She was like our office manager at the time. And she taught all of us who were in the office so many good things. And I think I can speak for all of us when I say that. But one of the things that stuck with me was to let the crisis happen. So this, I think, is not just in ministry, but just generally in life. So sometimes our bents might be with administration or different things that, like, with the working genius we have is to, like, save everything, to save people, to save every circumstance, right? And so, but what happens with that is, like, you end up being the one who gets burnt out and, you know, doesn't really even matter to the other people, right? But I think this is good advice, like, whether you're a parent, parenting teenagers, like my life right now, ministry, or just like generally in life. So like for an example, put my oldest son under the bus here, like can't get that kid out of bed. Like he should be able to get out of bed. But, and I, like, I'm not good at this. This is not a natural thing for me. I like to save things. I like to make things run well. I don't like to let the crisis happen. But it's something that I continue to work on. So, like, I need to let my son sleep in and be late for school and suffer the, you know, the consequences of these things. Just like maybe in ministry, I need to, you know, let things fall where they fall and not, you know, run to save things. Because that's how we learn. That's how, you know, other people will flourish, improve, become who they're meant to be, right? And not... not saving things. Same with, you know, your leaders in your ministry, right? And like letting them lead, sort of letting them learn through their experience and like not always trying to preempt everything. And I had like an awesome group of teenagers serve in the cafe for the first time, I believe. And they were on their own, like no adults. And so, you know, I'm like, they're going to learn. They're just going to get thrown into it. And sure enough, at our debrief, I just loved what he said. He looked at me with, it got really busy and we ran out of coffee and we were scrambling. And I was like, that's exactly what I hoped for you, because I knew that, you know, it's a small thing, but that's what helps you learn. You can have someone tell you, like, you know, you got to make coffee now. I got to make coffee now. But they're going to learn from those experiences of like how to run things well. And that's just like a small example.
Yeah. So our last question for today says, what gives you hope for the future of the church? Just a very chill surface level question.
I feel like there's a lot in the like church, big C church, and within Bethany, right? That's changed in the last few years and for the better. Like, I feel like church is so much less about, there's a word for it, but not, you know, coming to be like, entertained or, you know, I just feel like there's a lot more just realness and vulnerability.
Like less consumerism.
Less consumerism. It's more about, a community, I feel like now. And even less about content, because you can find content anywhere now. Like that's, you know, even though it's super important.
Like on Spotify, the BCC pod, share with your friends.
But, so just realness, community, you know, people needing each other. It's like, we can't replace that with technology, right? Yeah. And so I have lots of hope for the future of the church because of that. And, and also, God's church will endure. Like, we know that, right? Like, that's a promise. And, and I'm excited about that future. And also just, like, God's people. When you talk to, you know, just here at Bethany, you talk to people and, like, their excitement about our community and about God and about what, you know, he's working. Like, we know that he's working in the lives of people who attend Bethany because we get to hear these stories. And so I think there's lots of hope.
I think the thing I definitely think of right away is looking at like people around my age, like thinking of people in my home church and stuff. Shout out to my home church.
Shout out to Amy's home church.
But like how, you know, everyone nowadays is always, they really focus on like, oh, there's like less Christian Gen Z and things like that. which, like, is true and it's unfortunate, but I think that a lot of, like, people that are Christians, like, care very deeply about it. And I think even with there being less people then, there's more intentionality in, like, seeking out those communities and groups that can, like, be in your journey with Christ alongside you.
Yeah.
So I think just, yeah, like, how much people care, how deeply they think about it. Like, I think even in home church, some of, like, the questions that come up when we're discussing, like, the previous week's sermon and stuff, like, we can go pretty deep with things. So I think that side of things. And then, I mean, I don't know if this is a strange answer, but I also think of, like, Christian music today and some of the, like, really rising stars, like, popular or rising stars. So I think of, like, Maverick City Music, obviously, but also, like, Forrest Frank and Josiah Queen and people like that, where, like, they're having these massive concerts, and even, like, some of the music is kind of going a little more mainstream because it's just, like, good music, but it still is very, like, Jesus-centric. So I think it's interesting, like, how that's going to play into things, because I think, obviously, because it doesn't always just sound like worship music, but it still is type thing, and I think just kind of how that will play into things, I think, is interesting, and I feel like there can be a lot of hope in that.
That's super cool. I think it's interesting, too, that, like, at the core of what both of you had said about the hope for the church really comes back to just community and connection, right? And this being a place of, for both of those things, and how, like, I think for the church, as culture changes, we always have an opportunity to be a counterbalance to that, right? And that, like, as things get more isolated, we have an opportunity as a church to be a space of community and connection. As things feel more and more AI generated and fake and all those sort of things, that, like, authentic and deep and true connection in the context of what we do here, I think will be, will be more necessary and more needed even then. And I think there's some really big things that we're going to see and some really hard things, but I also think that the church has a really cool opportunity to kind of break in there well. So. Yeah. So that's a wrap for today's episode. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We love having these conversations, but they're even better when you're a part of them. So if you've got questions, thoughts, or topics you'd love to hear about, shoot us a text at 905-937-5300, or you can email us at the link in the description, and we would really love to hear from you. Before you go, don't forget to subscribe to the BCC pod so you never miss an episode. And if you're enjoying the podcast, do us a favor and leave a quick rating or review. It's a simple way to help others find us and be encouraged as well. Thanks again to Amy and Suzanne for joining us and chatting today. And we will see you all on Sunday and back here next week. See ya.
Bye.